إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. إخواني وأخواتي, the most important affair that the Muslim has to concern himself with is what he believes in. He has to be sure that the aqidah that he has in his mind and his heart, it is correct from top to bottom. And when we talk about the aqidah or the ideology, the belief system of the Muslim, there are a lot of general issues that he should know, and there are a lot of detailed issues that he should know. There is an issue that we want to talk about today that unfortunately we find many of the Muslims misunderstanding. And the strange thing about this issue is that you'll find the people of Dalala, the Jews and the Christians, they believe in it, and then we find the Muslims disbelieve in it. And that is the issue of al-shafa'ah. Al-shafa'ah. Like you say, al-imam al-shafi'i, rahimahullahu ta'ala, there is the concept of al-shafa'ah, or divine intercession. Why do we say that the Jews and the Christians, they believe in this, and the Muslims don't believe in it? The Jews and the Christians are people of dalala, and that which is batil. And they had no proofs whatsoever under the sun to allow them to believe and to establish the shafa'ah, whereas the Muslims on the other hand have every right to believe in it, and it is a tenet of their iman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he went in upon the Jews and he asked them, in having a discussion with them, what do you people believe about the hellfire? The Jews said, we believe in the hellfire. And we believe that the duration of this life in this dunya is going to be 7,000 years. We, the Jews, some of us are going to have to go to the hellfire. But we're only going to be there for 7 days. For 1 day, for each 1,000 years. And those 7 days that we're going to be in the hellfire is going to be a result of us worshiping the calf. We worship the calf for 7 days, so Allah is going to purify us for 7 days. We'll come out of the hellfire, and then you Muslims, you people are going to be in the hellfire. Everyone else other than us. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned that statement in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah when he said, وَقَالُوا لَن تَمَسُّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودًا قُلْ أَتَّخَذْتُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَهْدًا فَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ أَهْدًا أَمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And the Jews say, we are going to be in the hellfire for only a certain number of days. And the fire is not going to touch us except for a number of days, 7 days. Allah Ta'ala told the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say unto them, have you taken a contract out? Has Allah promised you this, what you're talking about? Because Allah does not break His promise. Or are you saying about Allah that which you have no knowledge of? So we would like to give the Jews the glad tidings of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's been collected by Al-Imam Muslim on the authority of Abu Musa Al-Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يَجِئُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ نَاسٌ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بِذَنُوبٍ أَمْثَالَ الْجِبَالِ فيغفره الله تعالى لهم ويدعوها على اليهود. The Prophet said, يوم القيامة, there's going to be a large group of Muslims who are going to come to be judged in front of Allah Ta'ala. And they're going to have sins the size of mountains because of the evil that they did. They're going to come to be judged. Allah Ta'ala is going to forgive them for their sins. And He's going to take the sins that they did that are the size of mountains, and then He's going to place them on the Jews. So this is the glad tidings that we give to the Jews. Not only are you lying when you say that you're going to be in the hellfire for a certain number of days, you're going to be in there forever, and in addition to that, you're going to get responsible, you're going to be made responsible to carry the sins of many of the Muslims. So that's tether. But they believe in the Shafa'a. They believe because they are Jews, they will get divine intercession because of their Yahudism. As for the Christian, many of us come from families who still practice Christianity. When we try to call these people to Al-Islam, they always come back with this ayat that they believe in that is not from the book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And they are not on anything until they establish the Torah and the Injil and what was revealed by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They say, the Christian, in the Bible is the verse John 3:16. God so ever loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, and that whoever believes in Him, he will have everlasting life and he will never perish. Every Christian knows that they're going to die. So they're not talking about everlasting life on this dunya. They believe if you die and you take Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that iman in Jesus is going to cause you to go to paradise. They believe in the intercession. And what caused them to believe? That ayat that's not from what Allah Ta'ala revealed in the Injil. But they believe it nonetheless. So that's why our relatives and the average Christian who we see acting ignorantly on Saturday night and on Sunday night, getting high, making zina, living with people who are not halal for them, because they believe they can do anything, even be homosexual. You can be a homosexual playing the organ in the Christian church, but all you have to believe is Jesus Christ died for your sins and you will have the intercession. How is it possible that those people have no delil whatsoever and yet they believe? And then when we come to the Muslims, this is an amazing thing. We see that there are some people who have preceded us to Al-Islam. They came into Al-Islam after the nation of Al-Islam. And they still have a Jama'ah here. We recognize that those people are the pioneers as it relates to us. Many of us are young and we came to Al-Islam after their efforts. Not because of them, but in spite of them. Because of Allah Ta'ala. But there are those from amongst them who made some efforts and we're the product of that by Allah's permission. We recognize that. And not to recognize that is oppression. But the Jama'at that stands as it stands today, it is an amazing thing that we always read it in their newspaper. We're always hearing from their dawah that is built upon politics, where they are killing themselves, acquiescing, over-compromising in order to be accepted by America and the American society. So they have the interfaith dialogue. And you have their imams believing that Jews and Christians are going to Jannah and they are brothers in Al-Islam. You ask the Jew, I'm a Muslim, do you believe I'm going to paradise? He'll say, no, you have to be a Jew. And you can't be a Jew because you're not born a Jew. You ask the Christian, can I go to paradise as a Muslim believing in Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah and believing that Isa is the messenger of Allah? They'll say no. You have to be a Christian and believe that Jesus died for your sins. And then you ask the Muslim from this Jama'at, are the Christians and Jews believers? Yes, Allah said that they were believers in the Quran. They're going to paradise. So it's an amazing thing. Similar to this warped concept is the issue of the Shafa'ah. The Muslims reject the belief in the Shafa'ah. Why? Because they use their intellect in the place where the intellect shouldn't be used. The way it shouldn't be used. They say, how is it possible and where is the fairness and the justice in a man trying to be from the Salihin, from the Mustaqeen, from the Mu'mineen? He's doing all of the good and then he gets rewarded or he gets punished for what he doesn't do. And then there's that evil Muslim man who doesn't do anything, but he dies on a tawheed. How is it fair that Allah Ta'ala will allow intercession to be given to that person when he didn't do anything? If Allah and His Messenger have established it, it's not for you or me to act why, how. That's not our place. They read the Quran and change the meaning of the Quran. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says about the intercession or the shafa'ah. فَلَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. The intercession will not benefit those people. The people will not benefit from the intercession of other people. This ayat is talking about the disbeliever. This ayat is talking about the people who Allah will not allow them to be interceded for. It's not for everyone. A shafa'a, ikhwan, is established in this religion, and we have to believe in it. Now I want to give you some examples. After the Muslim hears of these examples, all of them in Bukhari and Muslim, or in Bukhari or Muslim, how is it possible that the Muslim after that is going to have any doubt or misunderstanding about the tenet of his iman? From those who believe are the people who believe unconditionally what Allah established in the Kitab and what the Prophet brought, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his authentic sunnah. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, he told us in the authentic hadith that's in al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yawmul Qiyamah, all of the believers are going to gather together and they're going to say, look at our condition. Barefooted, naked, and uncircumcised, and we have some problems today. Let us go to someone to get out of this condition. And they'll agree amongst themselves, all of the believers, no matter what their numbers are, and they will go collectively to Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. And they'll say to Adam, Ya Adam, Anta Abu al-Bashar, Khalaqaka Allah biyadihi, wa nafakha fika min ruhihi, wa amara al-malaikata fasajadu laka, fashfur lana, ala tara ma nahnu fihi, ala tara ma badagana. They'll go to Adam and they'll say, Ya Adam, and they'll commence to mention things that are peculiar to Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. Our father, the father of the white man, the black man, the Arab, and everyone else's father. The racist is ignorant. He has a disease. If he doesn't take the time out to get out of himself what he has been conditioned to think, to hate another man because of the color of his skin. Adam is the father of everybody, and Adam is from the Torah. Oh Adam, you are the father of mankind. Allah created you with his hand, and Allah had his spirit blown into you. When Allah created, he blew from his spirit into you, Ya Adam. And Allah ordered the malaika to make sajda for you, so they made sajda. Don't you see what our condition is today? Don't you see what we are happening to us? Make intercession. Adam alayhi salatu wassalam will say, Inna Rabbi غضب اليوم غضبا لم يغضب قبله مثله ولن يغضب بعده مثله وإني قد عصيته. فهي ليس لي نفسي نفسي نفسي. Adam will say to those people, verily today, my Lord is angry in a way that he's never been angry before, ever. And in a way he'll never be angry like it. Verily he told me, don't approach the tree. And I went to the tree. So I disobey him. It's not for me to make this intercession. I got my own problems today. I'm the cause that you people are tried today by Allah's permission. He'll say, go to Noah. The people that come to Noah, and they'll say the same thing. You are the first messenger sent to mankind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called you in the Quran, Abdun, Shakur, the thankful servant. Make shafa'ah for us. Don't you see our condition? Don't you see what's happening? Noah will tell the people, كَانَتْ لِي دَعْوَةٌ دَعَوْتُهَا لَكَوْنِي فَإِنَّهَا لَيْتَتْنِي. I made a dua against my people. Instead of being patient, I asked Allah to destroy all of them. I made this dua. So I have to deal with my own problem. Go to the one after me. Go to Musa. They'll say, Musa, you are the Nabi of Allah. Go to Ibrahim. Ibrahim, you are the messenger of Allah, the Nabi of Allah, and you are the Khalil of Allah in the earth. You are the friend of Allah in the earth. Help us out of this situation. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam will say the same thing that the previous prophet said. My Lord is upset today. He's angry in a way that he never was angry before. And I lied three times. I lied in the haq. I lied when I had a right to lie. I told the oppressive man that this woman, Hajar, was my sister. That this woman, Sarah, was my sister so that he wouldn't take my wife and do with her what he wanted to do. At a heart, I called my people to El Islam by saying that the big idol broke all the other idols, giving them dawah. I lied by telling the people that I'm sick so that they will leave me alone so that I can make dawah. He lied in the haq of Allah. And yet, he's going to be held accountable for that. He didn't want to make shafa'ah because he lied in the haq. What about the person from amongst us? Every other word that comes out of his mouth is kezib. His whole life is built upon kezib, a lion. The believer does not lie. He lies at the times when lying is permissible. If Ibrahim, the prophet of Allah, the Khalil of Allah in the earth, does not make shafa'ah, and the reason why is he lied in the haq of Allah, what about the person who his minhaj is kezib? One of the ayat of the ayat of the nifaq and the munafiqeen. Go to someone, it's not for me. They go to Musa. Musa says the same thing. Musa said, I killed a man that Allah didn't give me permission to kill. Go to the one after me. And then they'll go to Isa ibn Maryam. Alayhi salatu wa salam. Isa, you are the one that Allah ta'ala, the kareema that Allah put on your mother Maryam. He said, kun, be, and you became. Just from that word, you were one who was talking to the people in the cradle. They mentioned beautiful things about Isa. Isa ibn Maryam ikhwan did not say anything about himself. The dawah of Isa ibn Maryam needs to be studied by us. He didn't say anything bad about himself. All he said was, all of what you mentioned about me is true, but it's not for me. Go to Muhammad. The people have come to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Prophet will make sajda in a place that Allah had already ordained. And he'll make a dua in a way that he doesn't know about yet. He will get inspiration at that time. And then Allah will say to him, Ya Muhammad, irfa' ra'sik. Was'al tu'ta. Muhammad, lift your head up and ask for whatever you want. You will be given it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make the intercession for those people who deserve to go to the hellfire. And that's why, ikhwan, during the course of the week, many of us are detached from the masjid, and we don't get an opportunity to hear the remembrance. So when we come to the masjid one time during the week on Friday, if you hear his name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not befitting for you to sit there and look at me like you stupid without saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that it will be in the hope that yawmul qiyamah you will come and you're from the people that he'll make intercession for. The one day out of the week that you hear his name repeatedly, and we still sit there without it affecting us. So that's the great intercession for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the Muslim hears that, how can he have any doubt as to the permissibility, as to that it is from our deen, this concept of ash-shafa'ah, from the intercession of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is a tremendous example. Is that he will have the ability to intercede for people from this ummah where they won't be judged, nor will they be punished. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu told us in another authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي سَبَعُونَ أَلْفًا بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ ثُمَّ دَخَلَ بَيْتُهُ. He said there will be 70,000 people from this ummah who will enter into paradise without any reckoning and without any punishment. Allah is not going to ask them what happened. You put this 70,000 and you add on to it another 70,000, we get the number 144,000. They mention this in the Bible. 144,000 of their followers are going to go up to Jannah. So we see how they make the talakhbut in the ma'lumat or the information of al-Islam. Elijah Muhammad, 144,000 of us, we're going to get on the mothership and we're going to fly off to the yonder somewhere. They mix up the information, that's the truth. So there are 70,000 people from this ummah. Everyone should feel it's possible that he can be from amongst them. So when the Prophet got up and went into his house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions sat amongst themselves. They didn't let that statement go in one ear and come out the ear that it doesn't mean anything to them. They want to know amongst themselves, who are those 70,000 people? So they begin to say amongst themselves what they thought. Pay attention to this point, Ikhwan, because it is a strong evidence here that shows and establishes the virtues of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. They are the ulama of this ummah. They understand better than everyone else. So we have to pay attention to what was the result of their ijtihad. When they said, who are these 70,000? We are going to get an indication of their fiqh and fahim of the deen. قَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ الَّذِينَ فَهِبُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم وَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ الْآخِرِينَ لَعَلَّهُمْ الَّذِينَ وُلِدُوا فِي الْإِسْلَامِ وَلَمْ يُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا قَطْ. Some of them said, maybe those 70,000 people are going to go to paradise without any punishment and without any reckoning. Maybe they're the people who were companions to the Messenger of Allah. Why is that the first thing that came to their mind? Whatever they say is going to be important because it's a result of their understanding of the deen. They have to be some serious people if they're going to go into paradise without any hisab and without any adab. Who are they? Maybe they're us, his companions, because no one else is like us. And then another group of them said, maybe they're the ones who were born in Islam, raised in Islam, and they never made shirk. This is important, Ikhwan. Maybe they're not us, because we were in Jahiliyyah, and we used to drink and do all of those crimes. Maybe it's the people who were born in Islam, grew up as Muslims, and they didn't make shirk. Like who? Like our children. It shows the virtue of the people who come into this deen, never knowing any kufr, any shirk. This virtue that can apply to them, it has to be taken care of by us, Ikhwan. How is it possible that I am a man who's a father to some children, but because of the way I behave and the way I act with their mother, with their mother's co-wife, and they're watching me and they're listening to me. So they grow up, and instead of being on and in Islam, they have problems in their mind. Because they see the way we behave with our mate. So they say, there's no difference between my father and those people who are bums out in the street. So let me be like the bums, because at least I can get more money that way. So this behavior of us, of ours, what we call a marriage, we need to understand, Ikhwan, we are directly working towards destroying this fitrah of these children. It's enough that the deck is stacked against us with the environment that we live in. The general locale of where we live. The ghetto. America. As if that's not enough. The psychological problems that come as a result of living in this society. What about in my home? The least that I can do is get on the same page with my wife, and we can be some Muslims to protect what the companions recognize is a virtue. Those people were born in Islam and raised in Islam. The Prophet came out, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he saw them talking about that. He asked them, what are you people talking about? They said, we are trying to figure out who are those 70,000, ya Rasulullah. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هُمَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَكْتَعُونَ وَلَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Who are those 70,000? And it is proof that you can be from them. He said those 70,000 people are the ones who do not burn themselves. The ones who do not take an iron, hot iron, and they burn the disease out of themselves. If the Muslim is afflicted with fever, malaria, dysentery, in the Muslim countries that are not that advanced to this very day, you can get cauterized. You can take an high iron and you can burn the disease out of your body, but it has to be the last precaution. It's just like divorce. Leave it as the last option. Do not deface Allah's property. Your body is an amana. It's permissible, but let it be the last course of action, just like divorce. take an aspirin before, take some other medication, rest, take it easy. But don't burn yourself until you are left with no other options. So they don't do that. They don't burn themselves. They're patient. Nor do they make or ask people for the ruqya. La yastarqoon. They do not ask people for the ruqya. Now a person may say, but just last week, you talked about making the ruqya with the Quran. It's a difference here of a person who acts for the ruqya and the person who gives the ruqya. The one who gives it, there's nothing wrong with that because the Prophet used to do it, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But he never asked someone, come and give me the ruqya. No, he was patient. And he got his reward from Allah. In his sickness in which he died, he could have brought Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Abu Bakr Umar, from the awliya of the companions, and gathered them all together and say, all of you make ruqya. He didn't do that. He was falling out, coming true. His head was about to explode. They say, Ya Rasulullah, it is as if you were going through some terrible pain. He said, Wallahi, my pain is double the pain of any of you people. He's the messenger of Allah. Allah has to purify him for the place that he gets in paradise. Even him. Why? Because he's Bani Adam. He goes to sleep. He forgets. He has defecation. All of that stuff. Akramakum Allah. And Jannah is not for that. He could have told them, make the ruqya for me. But he didn't. He was patient. He was from the people who did what? Who waited for their reward to come from Allah. The third thing is he said, those people are not superstitious. They do not make their decisions based upon superstition. They do not make their decisions based upon what way a bird flies, what color the cat is, what is the end of the license plate that's in front of him, what's the last number of the ayat of the Quran that he read going to determine for him whether he's going to do it or not do it. Allah said, but instead, or the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead what they do, they are patient with what Allah has decreed. So again, this is the intercession. When his companion Ukash ibn Muhsin stood up, he said, Ya Rasulullah, ad'u Allah an akuna minhum. Make dua that I'm from those 70,000 people. The Prophet made intercession for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right then and there. He said, Anta minhum. You are from them. I'm going to intercede on your behalf. Before you die, I'm saying you're from them. And then another man, seeing that, said, make dua for me too. The Prophet said, Ukasha has beat you to it. So we need to get on the sunnah of Ukasha. This is a trip right here that I see from our community. I see a group of people who have an enormous amount of wealth and resources. But they're waiting for the next guy to do something. We have to be on the sunnah of Ukasha. Don't wait for someone to do something before you decide it's a good idea. Ad-dal ala shay kafa'ilihi. The one who initiates something will get the reward of the one who does it. The one who calls to something will get the reward of those people who come subsequently after his idea. The sheikh can sit here and give a 3.5 hour talk. While he's talking, 1.5 billion questions come up. Not a single person has enough sense to say, let me help. The masjid can be in need of some toilet tissue, and we use it every day. And not a single person says, let me get some toilet. No, there's someone responsible cleaning the masjid. The sisters who are normally women who are clean. Women are clean. The woman, her nature is that she wants to beautify herself. She wants to smell good. Go over to the women's side on any given day and ask yourself, what Islam are we on? Why? Because there's someone who's going to take care of it. I don't have to take care of it. That corner right there, Juan, has been like that since I've been coming to this masjid for 3 years. Not anyone said, let me fix that up. Even though I'm in this room every day, I don't say, let me move this from here to there. Why? Someone else is going to do it. We have to get on the minhaj of Ukash ibn Zayd. From the shafa'ah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at this, Ikhwan. This is a tremendous point here. He has the ability to make intercession, yawm al-qiyamah, even for the kuffar. Certain kuffar. Look how much Allah loves the Messenger of Allah. certain kuffar will get his intercession. Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim brought the narration. On the authority of Al-Abbas, his uncle. هَلْ نَفَعْتَ أَبَا طَالِبٍ فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ يَحُوتُكَ وَكَانَ يَغْدَبْ عَلَيْكَ أَوْ لَكَ. O Messenger of Allah, have you ever benefited your uncle Abu Talib? Verily, he used to protect you and he used to get angry for you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نعم, هو في دحضاح من نار ولولا أنا لكان في الدرك الأسفل من النار. He said, I benefited him. He is in the dahdah of the hellfire. What's the dahdah? It's the pair of shoes that have been prepared for him, that his brain will ball as a result. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَهُ أَخَفُّ عَذَابٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. He will get the least punishment of the people of the hellfire. He said, had it not been for me, he would have been in the lowest part of the hellfire. So he made intercession for him that he took his punishment from being in the lowest part to getting the least punishment. Now, even though Allah Ta'ala loves the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib dying on kufr and shirk is not enough to get him over. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a human being. He is not Allah. He is subjected to the laws that Allah has put over his head. So even though Abu Talib is his uncle and he loved his uncle helped the deen, in many instances, more than most Muslims helped the religion, it's not enough to get him over the hump. So if that is the case, Ikhwan, we say to the people, make sure, ya Abdullah, that when those classes about Al-Aqidah get put on the table, be sure to find yourself in those classes. Even if you are a person who the classes are only a mudhakara or a reminder. And that is not the case with the overwhelming majority of us. There are some brothers here who sit in the class and they're going to know everything that's said in the class. They may get a little new benefit here and there. But the overwhelming majority of us are in dire need of the class. So where are the people at? Are we talking about only the classes here? Wherever you find a competent teacher teaching about the religion, teaching about the Aqidah, take your time out to learn. How is it that the Muslim can be sarcastic and make fun at our brother who's trying to memorize Usul al-Thalatha? What's so funny about that? The man wants to stand before Allah ready. Whereas you, on the other hand, Abdullah, you don't have a clue. There are issues that are in there that you are mixed up about. So, Ikhwan, we want to emphasize the importance of the Aqidah in al-Islam. From the Aqidah of al-Islam is the belief in the Shafa'ah. But not just to believe, but to do those things that are necessary to make us of the people of al-Shafa'ah. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us Ahl al-Shafa'ah, those people who deserve the Shafa'ah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله تعالى التوفيق والثبات. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. We gave you some examples, إخوانا, of how the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم will and is going to make the intercession for people of his community and even from Abu Talib al-Kafir, who Allah Ta'ala helped his religion by and with. There are other types of shafa'ah. One of you who is sitting here, who sees himself as being insignificant, and to a certain degree we all should see ourselves as being insignificant, as it relates to the power and the might of Allah, as it relates to the examples of the righteous people who have witnessed the past, as it relates to the Messenger of Allah and his brothers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, we should see ourselves as being insignificant. I came into al-Islam in Paterson, New Jersey, and I was unfortunate to have come into Islam at the hands of one of those people from that Jama'at, and they are our pioneers, no doubt about that. And in the beginning, I asked that man, when we started to disagree with each other, is it possible for a person to surpass the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in taqwa and in fahm, understanding? He said, yes, I myself have more knowledge than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because I live in America now and the technology, and he went on and gave a khutbah about that. So we should see ourselves as being insignificant. But at the same time, there are too many texts and too many examples that show us that we shouldn't look at ourselves as being insignificant. So that shows us how we have to be balanced in all of our affairs. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he could have been talking about any one of us sitting here to show you the kind of ability that you have. Why we should be of those people who are pessimistic or optimistic, afwan. He told us on the authority of Anas ibn Malik, and this hadith has been collected by Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, wa radiyallahu ta'ala an ashab al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يخرج من النار قوم بعد ما احترقوا فيدخلون الجنة فيسميهم أهل الجنة الجهنميين. There will be a group of people from this ummah who will be taken out of the hellfire after they were burnt to a crisp. They're going to be burnt to a crisp. And then Allah will have them dumped into the river of life in paradise. And lo and behold, they're going to sprout back up again, and then they're going to be of the people of paradise. And the people of paradise are going to call those people the Jahannamiyun, the people of Jahannam. The Jahannamiyun, that's their name. How are they going to get out of the hellfire? They're going to get out of the hellfire according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that they're going to have brothers who are going to wind up into paradise. And Allah is going to ask them, what happened to your friends that you used to hang out with? And they're going to say they're still in the hellfire. And Allah will tell them, go and get them out. Anyone who has a mustard grain of iman, go and get them out. So you see the importance of treating each other properly. You may be in need of that brother one day. And maybe Allah Ta'ala will give him the choice alone and no one else. And you may be the one that he chooses to grab his hand. The brother is in need of your assistance now. He has half of the rent. He comes to you and he says, Ya Abdullah, I just need the other half. Help me. And he reminds you of the statement of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فِي عَوْنِ عَبْدِهِ مَا دَامَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Allah will assist his brother as long as his brother, Allah will assist his slave as long as his slave assists his brother. That may be the one, Ya Abdullah. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another authentic hadith, يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِشَفَاعَةِ رَجُلٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي أَكْثَرُ مِّنْ بَنِي تَمِيمٍ. One man from this ummah will be able to get out of the hellfire more people than the tribe of Bani Tamim. We talked about Abu Dhar's tribe, Al-Ghaffar. We talked about the cousins of Al-Ghaffar called Bani Aslam. And we told you then that the tribe of Bani Aslam are more, and the tribe of Al-Ghaffar are more than all of the Muslims in this city together. Bani Tamim is more than all of those tribes combined. So one man from this ummah will have the ability to get that many people out of the hellfire. Who is he? He may be the brother, he may be the brother. If I know that, it only makes sense for me to do what? To rectify my problem. To be kinder to the people. So the point that we want to make here, Ikhwan, is it's not only the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will have the ability to make intercession. The regular one from amongst us will have that ability. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الشَّهِيدْ يَشْفَعُ فِي سَبْعِينَ مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ. The person who gets killed, في سبيل الله, he's a shaheed, he'll be able to make intercession for 70 people from his family. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الْقُرْآنِ شَافِعٌ مُشَفَّعٌ. The Qur'an is an intercessor. The Qur'an is an intercessor, and it will be made and used for intercession. Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran will come Yawm Al-Qiyamah to argue for the one who used to read it. So there are a lot of opportunity. There are a lot of opportunities. So therefore, Ikhwan, we say to you, in general, get your aqidah together. Do not be of the people who their da'wah is all about politics. Whether it's about getting the rules, whether it's about getting the money, whether it's about making takfir. As soon as they see someone teaching basics of the Tawheed of al-Islam, they say, how long are you people going to be talking about aqidah? How long are you people going to be dealing with those easy issues? Inshallah, for as long as Allah will allow. 950 years as Noah did, inshallah. If that's what Allah wants, and He gives us that kind of a life. Get our aqidah together, inshallah ta'ala. Believe in all of the aspects of the aqidah of al-Islam. And just as important, from the aqidah of al-Islam, treating each other properly. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه من الخير. None of you truly believe until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So we send the pieces and the salutations upon Abu Qasim and Mustafa al-Amin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking Allah ta'ala to establish us firmly upon his sunnah, asking Allah ta'ala to make the haq more beloved to us than our mothers and our fathers and our children and all of the people. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أقم الصلاة يرحمكم الله تبارك وتعالى وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. We just want to take this opportunity, Ikhwan, to mention a few things that the time didn't allow. The time didn't allow to be mentioned during the khutbah. And inshallah ta'ala, in the upcoming weeks, we're going to shorten the khutbah. This is really the first time that I've been taking 45 minutes or more during the khutbah. We try to stick to 30 minutes and then allow the people the opportunity to get back to their businesses or back to what they have to do. We want to make a very important point concerning the issue of a shafa'ah and understanding the shafa'ah, and that is those people from the Muslims who deny the shafa'ah, like those people from the Mu'tazila and other than them, just regular everyday people. There is a point of consideration as far as their position is concerned when they say, how is it possible that someone can do a lot of evil and then suddenly he can get the shafa'ah and that's it? We stand on the fact that we shouldn't ask those kind of questions, but what it does do is it shows us the danger of a person intending to be an evil person, one who is a Muslim or a talih, a person who is negligent about al-Islam and he's dependent upon the shafa'ah to touch him. This is contrary to what the Prophet has taught, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As a matter of fact, it is from what he has warned about. So we don't act like the people who say we're going to depend upon the shafa'ah, because no one wants to go to the hellfire in the first place, number one. And number two, no one has promised anyone that he's going to be the recipient of any shafa'ah. So we say these things in order for you to hear. How can you become a recipient of the shafa'ah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or someone else, and then after that you try to be amongst those people? So from the people who can receive the shafa'ah of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is what comes to us in the authentic hadith that's been collected by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and other than Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said, من قال حين يسمع النداء اللهم ربي هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آتي محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة وابعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته. He said, whoever hears the adhan, and he says, as the muezzin says, after the muezzin finishes and he makes that famous dua after the adhan, he said, whoever says that, فَقَدْ حَلَّتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِي, that person will deserve my shafa'ah. It will become halal now for me to give him my shafa'ah. So when we mention today, Ikhwan, about the people hearing the Prophet's name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not having anything to say, I think again, as we mentioned before, it's just a clear indication again of how much impact the dunya has had on our hearts as it relates to coming to this masjid or any other masjid, and you hear his name and it doesn't move you anyway. So out of all of the days that we should be taking an opportunity to send the salutations upon him, it is this day, our day, Yom al-Jum'ah. What happens is, if we're being bombarded with the kalam of the people and the kalam of the dunya, and we're being bombarded with chasing after the dunya, it becomes very, very easy for the heart to become negligent and for the mind to be incognizant of that haq that he has upon us, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So we didn't mean any offense when we said, don't look at me like you're stupid. Well, I didn't mean any offense by that. But what we were just trying to get across was the importance. On this day, we should be ready to say that word. We should be ready to say that. Also, from the people who will get the shafa'a of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the authentic hadith that's in Bukhari Muslim, when Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked him, O Messenger of Allah, who has more right for your shafa'a, yawm al-qiyamah? Out of all the people who's going to get your shafa'a, who's got more right to do that? Who would be the happiest people from your shafa'a? He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as'adu nas bi shafa'ati yawm al-qiyamati man qala la ilaha illallah mukhlisan min qalbihi. He said, the person who will be most happy with my shafa'a yawm al-qiyamah will be that person who said the kalimat al-tawheed. The person who said la ilaha illallah with sincerity from his heart. Another clear proof about why and how the Muslim should make it his business to do whatever he can to develop his understanding of the Aqidah of Al-Islam. Not to be of those people who simply want to rely on, I believe in la ilaha illallah, but my actions are not going to dictate that I believe in the kalimat al-tawheed. So he is also from the people who will get the shafa'a of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Another issue that we have to touch upon, and I'm happy that we have this opportunity to do so, because a lot of time, people will use the minbar, and you can become overcome. You can get overcome with emotion. There are a lot of things going on in your mind at one time. Things come to your mind, and suddenly you put them out there. And then you regret what you said, and that happened to me on a lot of occasions. We don't want people to misunderstand what we're saying. So if any time something comes off and someone misunderstands what is being said, wallahi, the door is open for you to come over after that to get some clarification. One thing that we did not mean today is, when we spoke about the situation with the sisters in the masjid being dirty, it was really a sad sight. To the point that I was happy to see that one of the sisters actually called later on during the week, and she complained about the condition of the masjid that was left by our sisters. Now, I didn't want anyone to think that we are accusing our women of being trifling or dirty, or they're people who don't take care of hygiene. We're not saying that. We're just saying that the woman in general tends to be a person who is more cognizant about her general health and her appearance and her hygiene and her surroundings. Whereas a brother, he can deal with situations that maybe the average woman can't deal with. So when we saw the condition of the masjid, that's what we were touching upon, that the women are also affected with this problem of feeling the problem is going to be solved by someone else. Which brings me to the other issue, and this is an extremely important issue. Why do I believe, Ikhwan, that we have a lot of resources and that we have a lot of opportunities and abilities to change the condition of the Muslims in this city? We have the ability to establish this dawah very firmly throughout this city. Everyone who is sitting here in this musalla, he knows someone, and he's working somewhere. The Muslim has to sit there and he has to say, what can I do at my job that can help Islam and that can help the masjid? We're not inviting anyone to steal the toilet tissue from your job. Nor are we encouraging you to take the paper for the computer from your job. But someone has a job in which he has computer skills, typing skills. A brother has a job in which he has skills with the phone company. Another brother has a job in which he's dealing with maintenance. Another brother has a job in which he's dealing with organization and structure. Another one has a job where he's dealing with the medical field, and on and on and on. If your job is not an extension of that which can benefit this masjid and the Muslim, then you are a person who is selfish. You are a person who is selfish. The person who's making minimum wage type of money, he has something going on in his job that someone can benefit or this community can benefit from. So what we want to do is get all of you to buy into that concept, that there is something that you can come to the table with as far as ideas are concerned. You may think that it's insignificant. Allahu Ta'ala is the one who, when you make the effort, he put the barakah in your efforts and your actions. And he's responsible for the result. Now, we've seen already how different brothers and different sisters have brought to the table what they can do. And as a result of them coming forth with their abilities, different projects are rolling on different levels. But there are a lot of things that left to be desired, and we are still trying to work towards that effort of utilizing and optimizing and maximizing all of the people's positions where they work, the skills that they have. And let us stop being of the people who are just into the hype. We're trying to destroy that concept. Everyone is responsible for bringing this dawah forth, and everyone has a responsibility that may be similar or dissimilar to the next man. We have to buy into that concept. So now, when you find that we come to you and we place in your lap some kind of responsibility, again, whether you're from Philadelphia or not, because alhamdulillah we have a lot of people coming here, we say, just step up to the plate and inshallah ta'ala, we try to get the most out of what we have. So now, that's really all I wanted, or all we have time for. Brother is pointing to me, all we have time for the completion of that tape. So if you brothers have any questions, inshallah, any comment or addition, you can take this opportunity to do so. Naam akhi Tawfiq. The correct position of the brother's question, which is, we have the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam telling the man who was messing with the rock that he has stopped or lost his Jummah, telling the man who may inkar on another man who was talking that he lost his Jummah. So it's clear that if the khatib gets on top of the minbar, that people should stop talking. Here we have a man who is doing something and he's telling another person, don't do that. And he's making him cough from a person who's talking. And in spite of him saying don't do that, because he talks and he says don't do that, his Jummah is lost, the reward of the Jummah. What about the issue of sending the salutations upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam during the time of the Jummah? So that's the question. The brother already established that there's some ikhtilaf in this issue, as well as if someone sneezes, should you say alhamdulillah to him or not? Then some of the scholars say no, some of the scholars say yes. So the issue to escape from all of the khilaf is that people say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to themselves, which does not go against what we were saying. On the minbar, we were not saying to the people, say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that I can hear you say it. We were saying, say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, period, full stop. Because as you sit there, all of us know that the majority of us are sitting there and we're not saying anything. We're listening and we don't say anything. So we were trying to get the people to be reminded of that particular sha'ira from the sha'ir of al-Islam. Any more questions, ikhwan? Naam, akhi.
أكثر
من بني تميم.
More than بني تميم.
That's a good question, Akhi. What's your name again?
Abdul Wadud.
He asked the question about the man who the Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he will make the Shafa'a for more than the people of Bani Tamim, which is a big tribe from the Arabs. One of the biggest tribes in the past and one of the biggest tribes today. And from their virtues is the statement of the Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Bani Tamim, Ashaddu Nas Ala Dajjal. Bani Tamim, this tribe, will be the most difficult tribe in repelling or being against a Dajjal. That's from their virtues. Concerning what he did, who he did, how he was, what were some of the things that we need to come to know so that we can try to inculcate some of his practices, Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. I don't know of any detail that the Prophet gave, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but we know that he's not the Shaheed. Because he established the number for the Shaheed at 70, and he said that this man will be able to make the Shafa'a for people who are more than the tribe of Bani Tamim. So, since he said, Rajulun min ummati, a man from my ummah, we say that it can be any man, unless someone can bring a proof in which the Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, specified who he was, and I don't know any other detail other than that. Allah knows best. My brother, this is the last question, inshallah. I understand that the kuffar will not enter into the Jannah if a Muslim dies. I understand that the kuffar will not enter into Jannah if a Muslim dies as a Shaheed. Would he be able to intercede for his kuffar relative? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interceded for Abu Talib, or was this exclusively for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam? Allah Ta'ala has made the Jannah haram for the kuffar. So if a person dies as a Shaheed and he doesn't have any relatives who are from the Muslims and from the Millah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his Shahada does not touch those people as far as getting them into the paradise. You can see Juraj Muhammad as far as cleaning up the sister side and everything like that. بإذن الله. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك.